The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan's big electric switch. Scrappage is now available on your old car when you switch to a 100% electric Nissan Leaf.
Intercounty travel is allowed. Household visits are allowed with limited numbers indoors. If some have been vaccinated, personal services like hairdressers and barbers, people can attend worship to 50 people, different ceremonies. Click and collect is back and shopping by appointment. Full retail reopening very soon and adult training. So there is a lot of excitement out there and a lot of excitement with the Hard Shoulder listener today as well. And with all of that reopening, behaviours will change. It is inevitable. So here to talk about changing behaviour is Pete Lund, the founder and the head of the ESRI's Behavioural Research Unit, advisor as well to Neffet. Pete, you're very welcome to the show. If we go back in time, Pete, first of all, to this time last year when we had a big relaxation at the beginning of the summer of rules, how quickly did people's behaviour change?
Good evening, Kieran. We know with hindsight that the answer to that question is actually surprisingly slowly. Indeed, it was possibly one of the mistakes we made that we thought as we eased restrictions and infections remained low last summer that, maybe that strategy was going to be fine and that infections weren't going to rise again. And in fact, it took, I would estimate, somewhere around 8 to 10 weeks for people's behavior to truly change. So throughout the pandemic, there's been this idea that there's this sort of pent up demand to get back out there. And as soon as restrictions are lifted, that's what people will do. It turns out really not to be true. There's a large proportion of the population that's really quite cautious about getting back out there and may take a good number of weeks to do so.
How large a proportion? What number are we talking about?
Percentage? Well, as things stand at the moment, just to give you an idea of this, I mean, as things stand at the moment, I mean, we still see that 44% of the population don't actually meet up with anyone from outside their own household in a 48-hour period. So there's still a large proportion of people who really are not socializing outside the household very much at all. So, there is a substantial proportion. And those that are only beginning to do so very slowly. I mean, we're recording good data every couple of weeks now on people's activity, and it's edging upwards steadily and slowly, but there aren't really large step jumps in people's behavior. So I think there's a quite substantial degree of caution there, and people are changing their behavior quite slowly.
That proportion of people, though, who don't meet up and are most reluctant, certainly judging by past experience, most reluctant to change behavior quickly, who are they? Are they the types of people who are most at danger of contracting COVID and getting sick, getting very sick by contracting COVID?
No, in fact.
Right.
They're really not. So there's a surprising lack of a relationship in many cases between the social activity that we see and vulnerability, at least as sort of estimated by people's age. In other words, there isn't a really strong age effect in the data that suggests that older people are being more cautious than younger people. What really matters actually are psychological factors, in particular, your level of overall worry about the virus, which varies more between people than the variation that we see based on age. So actually, it's much more psychological factors about how anxious people are about the disease in general.
So are you expecting then a repeat of last summer's performance this summer? You know, we've had this big relaxation today and that will continue, and that for 7 or 8 weeks, there'll be a lag in terms of behavioural change.
It's a really difficult question, and I can't be sure, of course. You know, it's pinning the tail on the donkey stuff. But what I would say is this. It's a little bit different from last summer because of vaccination, and vaccination is genuinely changing things. So what we can definitely see in the data is that people who've had the vaccine are becoming more socially active. So they now account for 1 in 3 social visits to homes, for example. And we can definitely see that the people who've had the vaccine, controlling for things like age and location and so on, are more likely to have social visits and are more likely to be meeting up with other people. So that is different from last summer. Nevertheless, I think for the most part, people's behavior will be quite gradual and quite cautious as they get back used to the new environment and they look around them and see what other people are doing and so on. And the other thing to remember is that people have formed habits that as we start to socialize again, they're going to have to break again and form new habits. So behavior can take longer to change than one might expect.
How long? How long does it take to change a habit? I mean, if you have gotten into a pattern of behavior that's lasted 12 months now, for example, you're in that cohort of people who doesn't meet up with anyone from outside your household. How likely is that likely to last? You know, there's the famous thing, you've got to go running for 21 days before you form a habit of it.
Do you know, I really wish, Kieran, that I knew the answer to this question. But in all honesty, I don't. I mean, we have data from last summer. We have the data now. We can see that things last summer moved surprisingly slowly. We can see that people are changing only gradually now. Will that change? I doubt it. And I think for some people, the chances are that their level of social activity may change for a really long period of time. I mean, there are people, when we ask them whether they're going to change many of their habits for a longer period as a result of this pandemic, do actually say, well, yeah, actually, some of the changes I might just stick with. So it really is a very difficult question to answer, but okay. I wouldn't expect sudden rushes. I think what we'll see is a more gradual and more cautious approach.
You mentioned, though, people get influenced by how they see people behaving around them. And I wonder, does there come a tipping point then with vaccinations, that as those people who are vaccinated, you also said, look, they're the people who are more likely to be out and about and meeting up with people now. As more and more people get vaccinated, and we'll assume those who continue to get vaccinated act in the same way, in other words, they get more relaxed out in society and being in close contact, that there's a spillover effect into the unvaccinated population.
There could be. So what we can definitely see in the evidence, and the data is absolutely clear on this, is that the more you think other people are being socially active, the more socially active you are likely to be. So we do ask people this. We ask people to estimate what other people are doing, which is always an interesting thing to do. And we know that human beings are strongly influenced by what social scientists will call social norms, basically just what others are doing. And we do have a habit of copying each other in that regard. And we feel more comfortable when we're not departing from those norms. So, yeah, people are influenced by that. And as vaccinated individuals start to become more socially active again, and we can already see that in the data, it is likely to have some knock-on effects. Yeah.
Several times over the last year, excuse me, we've had you on this show and you've been on other shows, and when it's been put to you, you know, that there is that pent up demand out there and that people are moving ahead of the recommendations and moving ahead of NPHET and moving ahead of advice, you've always been keen to stress, look, the data doesn't support that. Anecdotally, people might be talking like that, but the data doesn't support it. How has that data changed? Is there any evidence, say, with the most recent lifting of restrictions, that there are more and more people, if still not a majority, more and more people who are moving ahead of the advice?
A little bit, yes. So, but we need to be really careful with this, because there's a sort of tendency to think of this in a very kind of binary way. Either people are following the restrictions or they've given up and they're not. And we don't see that in the data at all. What we actually see and what we've typically done is we have people score their behavior on a scale of 1 to 7 to how much they are following the public health guidance, where, you know, 7 is very much so and 1 is not at all. Hardly anybody scores themselves 4 or less on that scale. What people are tending to do is push the boundaries a little bit more. So people who were previously scoring themselves a 7, which up until fairly recently was the majority of the population, now more likely maybe to score themselves a 6. So we have seen a kind of slight drop off in compliance and pushing of the boundaries as people are reporting it. And that's also matched, incidentally, by how they report other people's behavior. The trend is similar in both cases. So there's no abandonment of the guidance or the restrictions. It's just a kind of gradual pushing of the boundaries.
All right. Well, listen, we'll all follow closely exactly how those boundaries get pushed over the next few weeks and months. Pete, it's always interesting to speak to you. Pete Lawn, the founder and the head of the ESRI's Behavioural Research Unit.